are the church. You and I together, and all the other young people all over these nations I work in, we are the church. Because the church is simply God's people assembled together to worship Him. The church is people who are born again. So there's a lot of cultural Christians out there. There are a lot of people who think they're born again and are not. It's truly born again, spirit-empowered believers gathering together and then scattering. We gather together to be equipped and encouraged, and then we scatter to spread the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Because we are the church, and our job is to complete the task that Jesus came and began. So I want to play a song, and it basically, the message of the song is, we are the church, and we're expanding the kingdom. But I want you to watch the electricity in this band, if we can get it to work right for us. All right, so turn lights out. Moses, can you do that, please?
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Church, we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives for your joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the safe, the poor. We are the church. We
church. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Moses, we need lights. I need sound.
That is great.
Isn't that a neat song?
It's called We Are the Church?
Yes.
And who's the band?
The band. Thank you.
It's called Build Your Kingdom Here.
Yeah, Build Your Kingdom Here.
It's Red Collect. Oh,
okay.
So, all right, so Jesus said, I will build my church. And so let me read that to you. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, this ability to receive revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? So Peter had a revelation, the first person other than Jesus to have a revelation direct from the heart of the Father as to who Jesus really was. And Jesus states, upon that revelation, I will build my church. So here's what I've taught. I have taught for several years off that verse that we, if we're going to build his church, need a revelation of what is the next step, what is it going to look like, how is it going to function, what, all right? I'm wrong. Seriously wrong. Because what he is saying is that if you want to be part of the church that Jesus is building, you want to be part of the church that Jesus is building and move forward in the things of the kingdom to change our world and the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, then you need a revelation, a continual growing revealing of who Jesus is, period. He's not going to show you how to build the church. He builds it. He's not going to show you what it's going to look like when it's all over. He's going to show you more and more and more of who he is.
Yeah.
And on the revelation in your heart of who Jesus is to you, for you, and for the world, he will then use you to help spread the kingdom. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's totally different than anything I've ever thought of before. So to be a part of the church that Jesus is building, we need to receive revelation from him of who he is. And you can never know the fullness of Jesus. Because he's God.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be more and more and more. I've been walking with Jesus for 40 years and 3 months. And do you think I know him? I do, intimately. But I don't know him. Because he's much bigger than anything I can grab hold of or grasp or understand. Yeah. And so he's constantly revealing himself to us so that on the revelation of who he is, we can help him build his church. Amen? Here's the problem. You've built man's church all over the world. Even where Dylan and I are going to be going. A lot of those churches are being built by man, man's way, and it's glorifying what man can do. It's programmed, it's organized, it's an institution. It's boring.
It's true.
And so he wants us to spend our time coming to know him, so that the church can change. You may have to leave the church and start a different one, but it's all based on what he is telling us to do. He is so wonderful. You know, he is, here's what he wants his church to be: powerful, unique, life-changing, earth-shattering, kingdom-spreading. I don't know how anybody can be bored in church. Now, I've been doing this for 46 years, 40 of them saved. The first 6 years, I was bored. Then I got saved. And it hasn't had a boring day or a boring hour or I think a boring minute ever since.
Amen.
Because your salvation started you on an intimate relationship with Jesus and brought you into his church, which is the army of God, a family of God. The body of Christ, the assembly of saints, the bride of Christ, the household of God. It's a unique relationship that we have with him, and because of that, we have it with one another. Which is why he says we are a body, an assembly, a bride, a household, a family, an army. Those are all relational terms, not organizational terms. because Jesus came to be relational. So I've come to realize I've been preaching the wrong verse, preaching the wrong truth from the right verse. Okay? So by revelation, you will know what your role is in the church, to expand the church, to build the church that Jesus is building. But it's a revelation of who Jesus is, and it's a continual revelation. You should know more about him today than you did yesterday. And you should know more about him tomorrow than you did today. So listen, the Bible says that Jesus is the foundation to the church. So where do you start when you're going to build something? You start in the foundation. So where do we start when we're going to have a church? We start foundationally getting to know Jesus. And it's upon that foundation he's going to build his church. So go into, if you've got your Bible, go into Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 17, Paul's praying for the church in Ephesus that he started in Acts 19. And it says in Ephesians 1:17, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yes. So let me unpack that for you. If we are the church, then we need to come to know the founder and the foundation. The founder is Jesus. The foundation is Jesus. The cornerstone is Jesus. And as we come to know him, the knowledge of him, the more knowledge you have of him, the more wisdom you will have, because he is the truth and he is God's wisdom. And the more wisdom, godly wisdom you have, the more revelation God can give you. So this thing grows. The more you know Jesus, the more wisdom you'll have, not worldly wisdom, and therefore the more he can trust you with a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And the Jesus that most churches preach, and the Jesus that most believers in my age group believe in, is not the real Jesus. It's a plastic Jesus, a religious Jesus, a self-man-made Jesus. My Jesus is a colt-riding, table-turning, tree-cursing Messiah.
Tree-cursing. That's
funny.
So the more you know Jesus and his heart for the lost, the more you know Jesus and his love for his bride, the church, because he's the bridegroom, the more you understand how the church is to fulfill and complete the ministry that Jesus started, and the more you know Jesus' view and perspective of what is happening on the earth, and it is happening quickly, everything is changing in every nation. I mean, it is so screwed up and stupid right now. The spirit of stupid got loose. So I asked God, at the beginning of the year, I do it every year. So what, and I know Kat and I were talking about this today, about her verse or her concept or her thought from God. In 2018, what is it going to happen for you in your relationship with Jesus? What is going to happen in your spiritual life? And I asked God, I said, what am I supposed to be doing in 2018? And God simply said, it'll be a full year for you to focus on Jesus and come to know him better. Period. Now, I've been doing this a long time. I thought I really knew him. So I began. Because, I mean, what's today? The 11th or something? 12th of January. So I've had 12 days. It has been an awesome, amazing, phenomenal, fantastic, supernatural, wonderful 12 days. And every day, Jesus has been revealing more. In the old scriptures that I know, in all the stuff that I've been teaching, just showing me more and more about him so I can get to know him better and deeper and in a greater measure. I thought I really knew him after 41 years of doing this. When I was first saved, that was just after Noah's Ark, I sat down because I think analytically, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, I thought, so now I'm a Christian, so I believe in the Christian faith. What is the Christian faith? And I've never changed my definition. The Christian faith is a daily, ever-deepening, dynamic, powerful, life-changing, personal, unique love relationship with Jesus. You can make it anything else you want of it, but that's what it is. It's all about you and Jesus, and then us and Jesus, because we are the church. Amen? And as I've come to know him, and come to know him better and better and better over the last 4 decades, I found out that he's asking us this year to make a deeper, deeper commitment to him and his kingdom than he's ever asked before. So whatever it is you think God is leading you into in 2018, it will lead you to a deeper commitment to his kingdom. He's asking us to become committed to the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first, not second, first. Seek first. Did you get that? First? Okay, first. The kingdom of God. And all those other things that you want, need, desire, dream, all those other things will be added onto you. Do you really believe that? Well, why aren't you living it? Because if you're going to seek first the kingdom, you're seeking the king. Because every kingdom has a king.
Yes.
Here's what the Message version says. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Here's the Message version. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Seek first the kingdom. So don't worry about your comfort. Don't worry about your safety. Don't worry about your security. Don't worry about your dreams. Forget about your desires. Don't worry about what you have need of. Don't worry about what you want. Don't think about your ministry. Whoopee, you have a ministry. Wow, so did the donkey in the Old Testament. Don't worry about your vision and stop worrying about how popular you are or what people think of you. Do you realize how seldom anybody ever thinks of you? So why do you worry about it? Forget all that stuff. Seek first the kingdom and the king and watch all that stuff just fall into place or fall off the edge of the earth. Seek first the kingdom and stop thinking about yourself and your situation. Stop thinking about how important you are. Do you know that God could do this without us? He'd probably do better. Do you realize that when I first started in ministry, I thought, God, you're really blessed to have me here. I mean, like, I got education, I got talent, I got ability, I'm good looking, I'm smart. Do you realize how little God really needs us and how honored we should feel that he even wants us to be involved in his kingdom? There's a young pastor in Florida and he wrote this. He said, when I first started out, I wish I knew how little God really needs me. So the sooner you get over yourself, the sooner God can use you. He can either beat the pride out of you, like he did me, or you can just humble yourself right away and see what God can do. So Jesus isn't looking for your talent, your skills, your abilities, your giftings, your callings, all those things that we're so concerned about and we want to be involved in and we want to see happen. Jesus is not looking for any of that. He's simply looking for you to be committed to him and to his kingdom, regardless of what he asks you to do.
Yeah.
And all that means is every day to increase your intimacy factor with him. This is not rocket science. Aren't we glad?
Yes.
So get committed to coming to know him more and more, better and better than ever before. Because he's building his church on the revelation of who he is. He is God. And you simply need to know him, trust him, and obey him. So Jesus has been driving that home for me. So I'm reading the Message version. Started in the King James Version when I got saved, and now I'm finally getting into a version I understand. And as I'm reading it, do you know, I learned, as I learned to study my Bible, I learned that if, you know, things like, if the word therefore is there, find out what it's there for. Because it's usually, therefore, do this. So then I learned that if there's a phrase or a word that repeats itself consistently in a chapter, then there's a message in there for you. So I'm reading through various parts of the Message version of the Bible, and I'm seeing a word repeat itself. And here's the word, commitment, 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 commitment. So we just finished Christmas, and the angel comes and visits Mary. She's a teenager. She's probably about 14, maybe 15. And the angel tells her that God has sent him to tell her that she's going to become pregnant without a husband, without a boyfriend even, and give birth to a son who will be God in human form. Well, that's enough to blow your mind, but it's even worse when you think, well, and now I'm going to be stoned because I'm going to be pregnant out of wedlock, and now I'm going to die, and I don't see how this is going to happen. Listen to what Mary said. Okay, be it done unto you according to your word. There's a good thing to tell Jesus.
Yes.
God, whatever it is you say, be it done unto me.
Yep.
I don't care what it costs. I don't care what people think. I don't care where it takes me. If you said it, I'll believe it. That settles it. It's a done deal.
Wow.
Boy, your whole life would change. It really would. Jesus is with his family, and he's at the first miracle he did of seven in the Gospel of John, and he's at the wedding in the town of Cana, located in the region of Galilee, and they run out of wine before they run out of party. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, says to the caterers, whatever he tells you, do it.
Yes.
Whatever. Doesn't matter if it sounds stupid or it looks dumb or you don't think it's going to work. Whatever he tells you, do it. Jesus heals a man born blind in John chapter 9. And the man who was blind and now can see, he's confronted by the religious leaders. And they say to him, how did your eyes get opened? And the man says, a man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. I did what he said. Now I see. There's a commitment God is asking us to make tonight. And that's a commitment to the kingdom and to the king. And to anything that the king says for you to do in that kingdom. When he begins to reveal, if you'll say yes to that commitment, and he'll begin to reveal things to you. To say to people, to do with people. But you have to be totally committed to what he says. If you've got options, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, depends if I like it, whether it's comfortable, whether it's my day off, my not my day off, it's Sunday or it's not Sunday, then he's not going to say anything. You have to be 100% committed, and that's how he's going to build his church. Period. So when you come to really know him, then you're going to instantly obey him, because when you really know him, you'll trust him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because of who he is, I trust him. And the more I find out who he really is, the more I trust him. So then I don't question anything he's saying to me. So he's going to build his church. Think about that. Now, I always thought, well, he's going to build his church. So this is what we got for church now. This is what it's going to look like. No. If he's building his church, he's building you. Because we are the church. So the more I get to know Jesus, he's building his church on that revelation. That means he's building me. I'm going to be smarter, wiser, more able, more empowered, more encouraged, more... Don't you want that?
Yes.
Stop looking to everybody else for it. Start looking to Jesus for it.
That's good.
Now, I looked at all these scriptures for many years and saw it the other way. Folks, he's building his church. He's building me.
Yeah.
That's a great revelation I've had in the last 10 days. It's me he's building. It's you he's building. Because we are the church. Not some organization or some building. So I kind of had that revelation. But it's growing.
That's so good.
So as you get to know Jesus, he's going to strengthen you as a believer. That means he's strengthening the church. He's going to lead you to tell other people about him. And that means you're going to build the church. Because you build the church by adding people. Because we are the church. He's going to use you to move in supernatural power to witness to who he is. Do you realize that? What did Jesus do? The lame walked. The blind saw. The deaf heard. The dumb speak. The blind saw. Did I say that one? The dead were raised. You know, I've been going overseas and ministering in North America for over 40 years as a born-again believer. I have seen all of those things, including the dead raised.
Wow. Amen.
Because we try. We just go do things. Because Jesus said, the things I do, you will do also. Do you believe it? You don't need a revelation of that. You just need to read it in the book. So I got off an airplane in Moscow. I drove 5 hours. I was driven for 5 hours to the city of Yaroslavl. Yaroslavl is about 1.5 million in a slum. It's a terrible city. But there was a whole pile of kids there. And we did a wonderful youth retreat for 5 days. 3 of them out in the country with no heat in the middle of a blizzard. It never got above 12 Celsius in my room. And I was on the side where the wind wasn't blowing. It was cold. Anyway, so I went back again a few months later to work with the church in the city instead of out in the country. And as I got in the van, I have 5 hours to drive after about 30 hours of flying in airports. They look at me and they said, do you believe in raising the dead? And I said, yes, why? And they said, well, one of our youth leaders, he's 26, he's only been married 8 months, they're pregnant, and he died this morning. Would you be willing to go to the morgue and raise him from the dead? And I'm thinking, all I want to do is go to bed. So halfway there, we get a phone call and find out that in the morgue, they've taken out all of his vital organs because they can use them for other people. He's dead, right? And so I'm thinking, oh, good, I'll go to bed. No, they looked at me and they said, well, what's more difficult, give him new vital organs or raise him from the dead? So guess what we did? We went to the morgue and tried to raise him from the dead. Did he get up? No. Have you ever seen somebody raised from the dead?
Not yet.
Have you ever tried?
Yes.
Oh, good. Because you never will see somebody raised from the dead until you try. Because I've seen people get up from the dead.
Yeah. I want to see that this year.
Good. Make it a goal.
Yeah,
there's a man called Sergei. He's in Yekaterinburg, Russia. I did not know him, but he was a drug addict on the street. And he overdosed 3 times. The third time, it was permanent. And he was on the street, he died, he laid on the ground, and he was there for over 30 minutes before the EMS people got to him and took him to a hospital. And so the EMS people declared him dead, took him to a hospital in a big city, so it took about 30 minutes to get him to the hospital. So now he's been dead 1 hour. He was declared dead by the doctors. He went to the morgue. They indicated he was dead. They took his clothes off, put him on one of those slabs, put a white sheet over him, and slid him through the drawer and closed the drawer. So the staff changes. This was like by 10 o'clock at night. So he's been dead 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes. And so they switch staff. And so the new staff has a clipboard with all the people who have overdosed and died and are in the morgue. And people come and go because funerals happen. And so the new staff member has their job. First job is open all the drawers and make sure the name tag on the toe is the same as the drawer number on your sheet. And so as the young lady opens Sergei's drawer to check his name tag, he sits up. And we have medical proof of this. He's been dead for 3 hours and he sat up and he's alive. He now pastors a church for us in Yekaterinburg. And Austin, who is in Winkler, he will be coming and we'll meet Sergey in June because we'll be working in Sergey's church. We have documents that say dead on street, dead with the EMS, dead in the hospital, and dead in the morgue. This is the God we serve. This is the Jesus we need to get to know. And he didn't stop raising the dead. You just stopped believing for it. You just stopped praying for it. We are his church. We are his hands and his feet. And we just need to understand that he wants to do this. You know, John 14:12 says, the person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I'm on my way to the Father and am giving you the same work to do that I have been doing, and you can count on my help. There's a message version for you. Trust me, he says. Trust me. Get to know me, and you will trust me. And the more you know me, the more you'll trust me. And the more you trust me, the more you'll walk in faith and risk the whole thing. Trust me. He wants us to be 110% committed to him. That's what he wants us for this year. So let me read to you John chapter 6, message version. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last forever. To that they said, well, what do we do then to get in on God's work? And Jesus said, throw your lot in with the one that God has sent. Throw your lot in. Give your whole life to him. Trust him. That kind of a commitment gets you in on God's work. So every time I'm reading now, it's saying commitment, 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 commitment. And I keep saying to God, I am committed. I am committed. I am committed. I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm committed. And God keeps edging away things on the inside, pushing stuff and saying, no, see, you've held that back. You've held that back. You haven't trusted me there. Whew. Don't you hate it when he does this? So I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night, but let me share what happened. I was here in November, and I'm fighting with God because I just left a church that I planted that's half my salary. I trust God for money all the time, overseas, everywhere. And I've left it, so I'm out 50% of my salary. And that was 2 weeks before I was here. And so I'm trusting God for that. And I'm fighting with God during worship. Kat's leading worship with Ann, and I'm fighting with God. Because God is saying, by June the 30th of this year, you're going to give up all your other sources of income, all of them, so that you can be 100% free to go where I tell you to go, when I tell you to go, and not worry about having to preach in Regina or go to that place in Moose Jaw. And I'm fighting with God during the worship, and I'm saying, no, no, man of faith and power. Man of paste and flour here. I'm saying, no, God, no, God, no, God. You know, I got a red light, red light, red light. And I'm worshiping, but I can feel it on the inside. Red, right, red light. No, no, not. No go, no go, no go. And God's talking to me all the whole time. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe. So I'm on yellow light. Maybe. And the worship comes to an end, and Kat stands up. Thank you very much. And she says, during worship, God showed me a stoplight. A red light turning yellow. And God wants the person here that's been going through this to know it's green. It's time to go.
Yes. That's awesome.
So I have just let my leadership of the other two places I go know that by June 30th, I am done. Which means I will have no source of income except Jesus. How much do you trust him? So Jesus preaches a really tough sermon in John chapter 6, and the whole multitude leaves. And Jesus turns to his 12 disciples and says, so are you going too? And Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. we're already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One. Have you committed yourself that regardless of what God asks you to do, you will do it? So here's my point. I think it's going to be a year of increasing revelation, a revelation of who Jesus is for you in your life, of what he is like, of what he is saying, of what he is doing, and of what he wants you to do and fulfill for him. And he's going to build his church on that revelation, because he's going to build you, and you are the church. We are the hope of the world. We can change the spiritual atmosphere of the whole world. So you and I need to get to know him better. That's the whole point of this message. And we may think we know him, but boy, we haven't hardly begun. Amen? And when you get to know him, here's what he's going to do. He's going to say things to you that are beyond your stretch, your ability. He's going to stretch you immensely. When he reveals himself to you, the revelation of who he is will be bigger and greater and more powerful, and it's going to stretch your faith to believe and follow. Let me show you where I got that. In John chapter 6, Jesus looked and saw that a large crowd had arrived, and he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. He said this to stretch the faith. So as you get to know Jesus more and more, he's going to begin to stretch what you're able to believe for, what you're able to stand in faith for. And he's going to stretch you way out of shape and make you really uncomfortable. God reminded me this morning, I have a very old Bible at home. I wear out a Bible about once a year, so I have a stack of them on a shelf, and my daughters have already spoken for them when I'm dead. They don't want me to die. They're going to raise me from the dead. They keep promising, and I keep telling them, just let me go, let me go. All right, so there's a German fella, a young fella, and he wrote this: one day somebody is going to come along, pick up a Bible, and believe it, and put the rest of us to shame. Another guy, his first name's Angus, he said, if your vision doesn't scare you, it not only isn't big enough, it isn't from God. So catch a vision of Jesus, the living word, but also get to know the written word, because that's going to reveal more of Jesus to you. Amen? And allow him to surprise you. He's a God of surprises. In the Old Testament, they said, I'm going to do things suddenly. Suddenly means I'm going to surprise you. And you're going to find out how powerful the things that he's doing are, and he's going to do them through you. So I really challenge you. When we started worship, I wasn't planning to say this. Here's what I heard God say. This group does not know what I want them to do yet. This group is going to take the gospel of the kingdom from nation, from ocean to ocean to ocean. Yes. From the farthest to the north, to the farthest to the west, and then the farthest to the east. This group is going to change Canadian culture.
Yep.
Wow.
And I believe that. And I know that's huge. And I know you're in Winkler, or where are we? Morden. And I know it's kind of a pimple on the prairie going nowhere. But God has always chosen the insignificant and the people who are, you know, hidden to go and do amazing things for him. So if you can believe, God wants to take what you have begun to experience here in southern Manitoba all the way to the edge of Newfoundland and all the way to the edge of British Columbia and all the way up into the Arctic through you. You. You, because you are the church. And I have no doubt that that word was from God. that this group can take this message from coast to coast to coast. I have no doubt. And you don't need to wait till you've got 3,000 of you. You could do it with 3 of you if you just set your minds to it. Okay.
3 days ago, I baptized somebody with the Holy Spirit in Vancouver.
Good for you. That's exciting.
That's coast.
Good. Okay, so let me pray for you. So, if you want to do something religious, bow your heads, close your eyes. So, Father, we pray that you would allow us to truly be the church and to help Jesus fulfill his ministry and expand his kingdom. And we pray that you will have that we would have an increase of the spirit of revelation and wisdom, because we're going to have an increase in our knowledge of who Jesus is. Not only the knowledge of who he is, but the experience of who he is. And we pray that you will give us a deeper and greater commitment to Jesus, the Jesus we know, and who he is, and that you would bring greater revelation to us of the things you want us to accomplish with him. And we pray that you would help us to trust him even more. Trust that we hear from him. Trust that he would never ask us to do something that he wouldn't come with us to do. Help us to trust and obey instantly. And I pray that you will know that our heart is solidly committed, totally committed, absolutely committed to you and to your kingdom. And that we would come to know and appreciate the King of that kingdom more than we've ever known or appreciated him before. But most importantly, I pray that we'd really come to understand that we are the church. And that as you build your church, you're building us. Help us to understand that deep in our gut. And help us to be so thankful that we are part of your church. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.